Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight. Lord, we pray as we study together, we pray that we as saints in the body of Christ will be encouraged and we will be enlightened by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, rightly divided. And Lord, we pray for those who right now who don't know if they're saved. We pray for those who are not saved. We pray that by faith, if they just put their trust in the finished work at Calvary's cross, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. They put their trust in the gospel. My brothers and sisters, if they believe that tonight, they have been saved to eternal life. My brothers and sisters, for those who are listening in, I pray right now that you would put your total trust in the gospel of the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. We pray for those. We have many who don't even know if they are saved, and that's a sad occasion, my brothers and sisters. You must know, my brothers and sisters, you must know. Amen. We're going to get into our lesson tonight. We're going to get going here. We're going to talk about our scriptures we're going to be referencing, because I won't read them all as we go through these studies over the next few weeks. 1 Corinthians 2:10-14, and that talks about, but God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, verse 12, now we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. My brothers and sisters, now verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Then we're going to look at Romans 1:18-32, and that's talking about when God turned the nations over, let them go their way. Those who held God's truth in unrighteousness. And we're going to use those scriptures, verses 1-18-32, as our study. And then we're going to look at Timothy. When Paul talked about 2 Timothy 3:1-5 there, this know that in the last days perilous times should come. For men should be lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And if you read those verses, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, you will see the days that we're living in this society, in this world. Now, before we get into the depths of this message, Apostle Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean things. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Let me tell you something. If the church, the body of Christ, is ever going to do anything, we got to clean up our act. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. But we should also make sure we are going that way also. You know, we are not going to help the situation. We're not going to do anything to reach the lost. All those people sweeping by in the strong winds of God's judgment, we're not going to do anything for anybody unless we are living in the circle of holiness. Do we understand that? What does 2 Timothy 3:12 tell us? It says, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see that? Live godly in Christ Jesus, my brothers and sisters. He said they shall suffer persecution. In order to live godly, we must think like Christ, do things Christ's way, and labor with Christ at what he's doing. That's godliness. Now, let us get into our studies for next few weeks. Apostle Paul tells us that when we get to the point when we reject God and turn our ears away from the truth, we will have a world and a society that worship things, cars, homes, jobs, money, status, philosophies, even our own pride or lust. The Apostle Paul explained what the end results are for people who have turned their backs on God. We live in a world. We live in a world characterized by men and women who are lovers of themselves, my brothers and sisters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And many saints have fallen into Satan's trap of deception and have turned their ears away from the truth. Remember, the Spirit of God teaches spiritual things, Bible doctrine. 1 Corinthians 10:2, 10:14. We just said that. But that's what it says. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, in verse 14 here, is the lost man. Sin is a spiritual problem. That's why the lost, as well as many Christians who do not know the Word of God, are clueless as to what's happening in the world, especially when it comes to death and the heartaches and pains and the sufferings of this present time, all those that comes along with it, all the sorrow. We have all been there, saying things that we really didn't understand, or saying things that we have heard other people saying. Doubtless, we never want to sensationalize or exaggerate. However, the fact remains, some dark days are ahead for us, the world, and society. And we said that in 2 Timothy 3, when Paul talked about perilous times. My brothers and sisters, Paul says, what can we Bible-believing Christians do in a world like this? My brothers and sisters, it is sad during these sufferings of this present time and the tragedies and heartaches and pains. It's sad when you hear people talk with no knowledge of the scriptures. You know they lost. And what they are saying might sound good to them and make them feel good, but it's far from reality. During tragedies, you may hear people say things that make no sense or have no biblical foundation. Even saints do it. You will hear people say things like the deceased person is looking down on them and is protecting them. Or they might say, I'm going to live my life for the deceased person and keep their legacy alive. Or you might hear that the deceased person is right here with them now. Or they might say the deceased person is their guardian angel. Many Christians talk the same way that have no knowledge of the scripture. And the reason many Christians are this way is because they do not study the word of God, and they do not study it as God prescribed, rightly divided. Many people who attempt to study the Bible are lost. They are not saved unto eternal life, and they do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thus, the Bible is foolishness to them. God's word never makes sense without the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:5-8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Some might be asking, why do people live after the flesh? The term mind in this right here is being used here in the sense of regarding, thinking about, paying attention to, obeying. By the way, flesh is the same as the carnal in verses 6 through 7. The fleshly or the lost person's mind is anti-God. So it does not make sense for a Christian, God's child, to think like a non-Christian. Whenever there is a fleshly thinking in the life of a Christian, that is Romans chapter 7, there is sure to be sin. The flesh and sin are one and the same. How can a Christian live like a lost person? When the Christian thinks like a lost person, when you hear lost people try to speak about or explain spiritual things, they can't, because lost people have no ability or power whatsoever to please God, because they do not have his word working in them. They have a sin nature, an innermost being that is anti-God and that controls them. That carnal mind is a depraved mind. They are morally corrupt and wicked. If saints really want to know what's happening in the world today, you just get in the book, the Word of God. Let's talk about this reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1 provides the reason why human civilization has been ruined. It's rotten to the core. Romans chapter 1 lets us see that mankind was not thankful for knowing God or God's revelation to him. He could not have cared less about his creator's words and will. Therefore, the creator gave the creature up to proceed on his own path. And that's what we're seeing today. With destruction, the destination. With society in an uproar about the abortion decision. All the other issues and problems in the world. We must never lose focus of God and his will. We as Christians must always ask ourselves, what said the scriptures? No matter how much protest is going on, no matter how much folks are saying this and that, we must ask, what says the scriptures? So who's right? Well, if you're a Christian, then you know that God is the creator of all life. If you know God's word, you would know what is of God and what's not. We should. We as Christians must always know what's of God and what is of the world and the world's view. And remember that Satan is the god of this world. But if you do not recognize the divine creator who has made us, then that opens up a can of worms. Many believe the lie. And Satan has deceived many into this type of thinking. And that is, if God did not create the world we live in, but it's only the result of a Big Bang theory, then why should we concern about the morality of taking life of an unborn child? If we have no God to answer to, then we can do whatever society would allow. We won't have to face God if God does not exist. They're thinking we own our bodies, our own bodies. The world's thinking because they do not know God. And we can do whatever we choose. We have the right to choose. If it is in my best interest, then abortion is okay. That is the feeling of the majority of many in society who have been deceived by the enemy. As we get into the study, we'll see why the world is the way it is today. If we as saints and ambassador for Christ, we should be about the work of the ministry by going out to the lost world and presenting the gospel to all, but making sure we are speaking to our young girls and boys, young adults, as well as all others, so they will, by faith, when they hear the gospel, put their trust in the gospel of the grace of God and get out of Adam into Christ. When that happens and they are transformed, they will know how. See, this is where we need to go. They will know how to possess their vessels in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Once in Christ, young men will learn what God requires of them as a father, and they will learn to take responsibility for children that was conceived while sinning. In other words, doing fornication. The world system, you see, you have to understand, the world system calls getting pregnant outside of marriage a mistake. God's word calls it fornication. The world will always try to minimize and make sin seem like it's no big deal. Young boys and young girls, as well as many others, they enjoy the sin of fornication and adultery, but doesn't think about the consequences while engaging in sin. It's all spiritual. On many occasions, as soon as that young girl tells that young man that she's pregnant, he doesn't want anything to do with her. And many times he tried to encourage the young girl to go and get an abortion. In some instances, the young man, in his depravity, ends up killing the girl when she decided she was going to keep the baby, because he really didn't want to be with her. He just wanted her for her body. I've seen many real-life situations where this has happened. And me and my wife, we've seen stories of when this has happened. Young men who have went to the depths of depravity. They've heard, I've heard of many situations like this. Because these young men feel that a young pregnant girl would ruin their career and their life. And in some cases, the young parents, the young man's parents would step in and offer to pay for the abortion. Many times young girls feel that having a baby would slow them down and getting away of what they want to do in life. This is why getting out of Adam into Christ is so important. They will learn how to live in Christ. Satan and this world system, they will continue to encourage fornication and adultery. And if you get pregnant, the world system will tell you, you can go and have an abortion and then go on with your life. And you end up getting pregnant again because you're still in Adam. Satan and this world system will encourage that. Now you can go back to fornicating and committing adultery. This is why the gospel of the grace of God is so important. God is about life. My brothers and sisters, Genesis 1, 27 through 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:14. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. My brothers and sisters, God ordained sex for procreation and to be enjoyed in confinement of marriage. But those in Christ know that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. We as Christians, we follow God and his instructions to us. We do not follow after the world's view. I am not here to argue with people or to pick sides about all the protesting about around the abortion issue. I'm here as an ambassador for Christ, and I represent him in what I say and do. There are several places in the Bible where we as Christians are commanded to flee, to turn tail, and run from an enemy far more vicious than any bear. We are told to flee from sin. Some sins are so strong and so dangerous that you simply cannot mess around with them. Just like you can't fight a bear and expect to win, you can't tangle with these sins and hope to emerge unscathed. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. And we can have confidence in the inward work of the Holy Spirit. We as saints must always be on guard and understand the power and the deceptiveness of sin. And we always need to acknowledge our weakness and proneness to depravity. For your soul to survive and thrive in this world, we need to learn to flee, as the Apostle Paul told us to do. Flee is a strong word. The Bible does not tell you to amble or mendle or lope or trot from your sin. It tells us to flee. Fleeing involves effort. Flee from sexual immorality. He says to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6:18, you are to flee at the first hint of sexual sin. Therefore, my beloved, flee from adultery. Idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14, you are to flee idolatry too, which is so often expressed in the kind of sexual immorality that plagued the church in Corinth, but which may appear in other form. Paul returns to this theme in his letter to young Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:9-11. But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. You are to flee materialism, the desire to be rich and to be known and respected for what you have accumulated, and more generally, flee youthful passions. That's what we see in the world today. Youthful passions, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul warns Timothy of the danger of self-indulgence and self-ambition and the other passions and excesses of youth. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Sex outside of marriage leads to horrible outcomes for all involved. 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8 said, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despise not man, but God, who has also given us unto his Holy Spirit. And verse 8 makes it clear that if you reject his teaching, you are rejecting a man, because the command comes from God himself. Rejecting the command is rejecting God himself. Since we know that God created all life, the real issue for us, what does God think about the issue of abortion? You have to ask yourself that. What does God's word have to say about abortion? God's word is our ultimate guide. When we don't get our view from the Bible, we get man's view. And man has a heart problem, and that distorts his view. Don't get caught up in the grips of sin. You may hear people say, This is something to try and tell you. You hear folks say, but I love him or her, so how can it be wrong? Consider what you're saying. That's like saying that feelings are a good justification for any wicked action. If we tried that with other sins, everyone would laugh. For example, I really love that woman's necklace, so I stole it. I really love not getting in trouble, so I lied in the court under oath. Feelings don't justify wicked actions, ever. Just because you really want to do something doesn't mean it's morally accepted. Further, the people who say people are saying these things are looking at things backwards. They are looking at things not from God's perspective. Abortion can have, let me say this, an emotional and psychological impact on those who decide to go through with the procedure. Many at this moment are going through emotions of sadness, grief, loss, guilt, shame, and anger. Many are saying that they are not themselves anymore. My brothers and sisters, once again, God created sex for procreation and to be enjoyed inside the confinement of marriage. God is a God of love, compassion, and he cares. He knows all about our difficult situations and decisions in life, and I guarantee if you trust him, you will make the right decision if you are in Christ. The problem we see in the society today would not be if we just do things God's way. Paul says in Ephesians 5:2, 5 and 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. There are consequences when we don't follow out with God's command or God's word. Whenever you see an idolatrous society, they invent a God who tolerates their vices, you know you are witnessing depravity. They have invented their own church. In fact, usually they will integrate their vices into their worship. They had their own priest or preachers, their members in their own belief system. We have homosexual gay churches, and they are growing rapidly. They have created their own Jesus, their own God. They say the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay. And my God, small g, their God wants them to be happy, because he's a God that accepts them as themselves as they live the way they want to live. Their God, small g, is a God of what they describe as love. They invent a God who tolerates sinful desires and vices. We are there right now in this society. Reprobate mind, my brothers and sisters. Unless the grace of God intervenes, they will continue to live vile. It's lust gone wild, and many believers are engaging in it as well. It's the kind of thing that what makes people do shameless and nameless things. Well, what are the things they do? Well, let's see. Firstly, they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Is what we're going to be talking about. Uncleanliness, beyond anything you could even imagine. Lust gone wild. Dishonoring the human body in ways that are indescribable. Satan has deceived them to thinking you're God. Run your own life. Do your own thing. Don't let anybody impose something on you. Now watch this. They exchange something. They exchange the truth of God for the lie. They exchange God for idolatry. That's what we get in Romans 1. You read that, Romans 1, 18 through 32. They exchanged God for idolatry. They exchanged the right kind, my brothers and sisters, the right kind of sex ordained by God for perversions. The best illustration Paul can use is homosexuality. Look at society, the fight for gay marriages and all these pride parades. You know what a pride parade is? It's a march for wickedness. When you see it on nationwide television, they marching. It's a march for wickedness. That's the wrath of God at work. If women in our society and in mankind's history want to exchange God, they're not going to have any problem exchanging natural for what is unnatural. And so they choose to live godless. They're given over to the results. God say, all right, you're perverted. Then your perversion will touch your physical living as well. And so we have lesbianism, vile, ungodly, wretched sin. We are seeing and having been seeing it and play out just like the Apostle Paul said in God's word. In verse 27 of Romans 1, he covers the other side. He said, likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is obscene and receiving themselves the recompense of the error which was fit. Did you notice that little phrase? When they do it, you see they get exactly what the consequences are. They get the results that are fitted. They throw themselves in the vortex of the wrath, and they're going to get what happens. We are looking at a world and a society that literally are so consumed with lust that they are on fire. Fornication and adultery have been accepted as a way of life by this godless society. Parents allowing the boyfriend to move in with his girlfriend, or the girlfriend parents allowing the boyfriend to move into their home. The gospel is greatly needed, my brothers and sisters. A depraved or reprobate mind. Now, you notice that it says that the man has been given over to a reprobate mind in verse 1, in verse 28 of Romans 1. Now, what that means is a reprobate mind, reprobate reasoning, worthless mind, unable and unwilling to think right. Man cannot think right. He cannot reason properly. He will never reason himself to the truth. He will never reason himself to God. He will never reason himself to the righteous, because his reason is warped. His mind is reprobate. And what that means is simply depraved, declining, unwilling to think right thought. Notice I said unwilling. The sinner doesn't lose all knowledge of right and wrong. That's absolutely not true. In fact, look down at verse 32, Romans 1:32. What it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. So it's not that they lose all sense of right and wrong. It's that they choose over their sense of right and wrong to do it anyway. That's the reprobate mind. because God has abandoned them to this depraved mind. What we see in society and in the world are the consequences of a reprobate mind that come from those who hold the truth in unrighteousness, and the root cause is sin. A reprobate mind refers is to people who more sense is so perverted and whose minds are so clouded with their own evil speculations that they do obscenities. And obscenities is something which does not fit in God's moral order, something that is not seemly. It simply means it doesn't fit into God's moral order. When we know the right thing to do and we do wrong, we develop a reprobate mind. We know the right thing and we do wrong. We have deliberately chosen sin as a way of life, and we now call what is wrong and bad right and good. And that's what we got in this world today. And what is right and good, we call wrong and bad. We will not see the truth, and so we live a lie. We are the self-deceived. Paul says so clear that those who reject God will have no excuse when they stand before the Lord on judgment day. Many have been deceived by Satan, and they are not motivated to believe the gospel of the grace of God. Deception is a terrible thing because it lets people think that what they are doing is acceptable. And that's what Satan's goal is. And Satan's desire is to keep them blinded from the gospel of the grace of God. The devil loves to bring people to this place of deception so that he can take them to a lost eternity. The only way to enjoy God's eternal life is to believe the gospel, the grace of God. And we as saints, we got a job to do. We have to get out here. We have to get out here with the gospel to this lost world. Believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Don't follow the world. Don't walk like them, talk like them, or act like them. But in our study, we will see that many continue to follow the way of the world and have rejected a loving God and his truth. And we're going to pick up next week, start about this reprobate and depraved mind. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in, we pray that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and they were edified in your word of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters,